Those wise old Greek philosophers taught us that there was a ruling principle over the entire universe. The universe didn't just come about by chance or by accident. There was some pretty brilliant engineering behind it. There was a governing principle over all of it that affected everything that is. And those old Greek philosophers actually had a word for that. They called it the logos. Our English word logic comes from logos. There's a logic to the universe. And that word logos actually appears in the lesson from John that Dave read a few moments ago. Now, of course, in the English translation, it's not logos. It's translated as the Word. The Word with a capital W. That ruling principle of everything. And John, in agreement with the philosopher, says it was in the beginning. John says the Word was with God. In fact, John says the Word was God. And then John makes what is probably the most incredible assertion that has ever been uttered in all of human history. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Lived among us. Not just vacationed with us, not just an occasional visitor who came by on the weekend, but lived among us. That Word, that eternal Word of God, entered into our human existence, our common humanity. Actually, in the New Testament, John's writing in Greek, and the word that he uses for lived is eschinosen. Literally, it means he tented with us. Strange thing to say, until you remember the Old Testament, how the people worshipped in a tent. Before there was a temple, they worshipped in a tent, in a tabernacle. It was a great thing for nomadic people who moved about with their sheep and their goats. They could simply pack up their tent, take it with them, unpack it, and they always had a place to worship, that tent, that tabernacle, where God was present. In the Holy of Holies, God was immediately present there. God tented with his people. And John says, the Word, that eternal Word of God, pitched his tent with us, lived with us, dwelt with us, entered into our flesh. It's a mind-boggling thought. The Alpha and Omega of all that is entering into a human form. The creator of the heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, becoming a human person. The Lord, the sovereign Lord of all things, of the entire universe, entering into our common ground, our common life. I want to speak just for a few moments, very practically, very pastorally, if I may. Think of what that means, that the Word has entered into our human flesh. Think what it means for the cancer patient. Struggling with the fear and on the uncertainty, facing the pain and the expense and the anxiety of radiation or chemo or surgery or maybe all three, and always that fear that it will be terminal. Think what it means for the person in grief, weighed down with the sorrow of having lost a dear loved one, the pain, the emptiness, the hurt, even on this Christmas, that they're experiencing. Think what it means for this world, so torn by bitterness, by conflict, so torn by war and hatred and terrorism, so torn by tribalism all over the earth, tribalism. Our tribe's better than your tribe. The only way for our tribe to advance is if your tribe gets put down. I don't want to be part of your tribe because I'm part of my tribe. Think what it means for this world torn asunder. Think what it means for any of us, children of the dust, who have come from the dust and unto the dust we shall return. For all of us for whom those words are painfully true, those words that we will all, like the grass, pass away and fade. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons, all its daughters away. What does it mean? It means ultimate healing, ultimate victory, ultimate life, ultimate joy, ultimate peace, ultimate triumph. Because the Word, God Himself, has taken upon Himself our human condition, lived as we must live, died as we must die, and overcame it in resurrection. That's what we're celebrating this night. That's why we celebrate Christmas. The Word became flesh and lived among us. A child in the stable of Bethlehem, born amid animals and straw with cobwebs hanging down from the ceiling and a mouse probably scurrying along the dirt floor. That's God wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The little 2-year-old toddler sitting there in the little chair that his daddy made for him in the workshop there in Nazareth. The little 2-year-old, that's God spilling his milk. That adolescent who wandered off from his parents and went into the temple to talk with the elders, causing his parents enormous concern, exactly what adolescents do. That's God showing us that above all, we must be about the Father's business. That teacher by the lakeside of Galilee who called fishermen and a tax collector, come, follow me. That's God calling average, ordinary, common working men and women to come and to follow. That passerby, as a woman was about to be stoned to death, caught in the act of adultery, and the passerby said, all right, stone her if you will, but let the one who has never committed sin cast the first stone. That's God offering redemption and pardon and mercy to sinners. That bent over figure in the cemetery in Bethany, bent over in grief, shamelessly weeping and crying at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus. That's God knowing what it's like to lose a loved one. And that figure on the cross, beaten, spit upon, mocked, scourged, abandoned, rejected, twisting in excruciating pain, that's God dying for us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The early teachers of the church said that what God has assumed, God has redeemed. And what God has redeemed is human life, our humanity. Friends, in a world of gloom and darkness, there is a light that is shining. In a world of conflict and warfare, there is a peace, not as the world gives, but a peace that comes from beyond ourselves. In a world where it seems that death has the upper hand, there is a triumph over death that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Jesus, the Christ, is born. Emmanuel, God with us. And at his birth, shepherds came to worship. The heavenly host burst forth into singing. I know that verse refers to the angels in heaven, but I sometimes think maybe it refers to that old text in Job, talking about the creation when all the morning stars sang together. Love that image. Maybe now, at this moment, In the new creation, all the morning stars are singing together. The Word became flesh and dwelt, lived, tented among us. And we will never be the same. We are transformed into that glorious liberty of the children of God. So be it. Amen.